This is a special time. It's a special time in the life of this country. And it should be a special time in the life of us as believers as we reflect on this day. This will not be my normal preaching style. Just going over the material has been a challenge. A challenge of the soul and of the heart. And I just want to kind of share some of that. And I like the scripture just to speak for itself today. So I'd like to read to you the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus. I know that just excites you and thrills your soul. Preachers have stood up from the beginning of the church, especially on the first Sunday of January. I know this because of pastoring for 18 years. I always did this. And I exhorted my fellow believers that this year would you compact with God, that you'd read the whole Bible through. And so many of my people say, oh, we really enjoyed Genesis. We really enjoyed Exodus. And then I would have less and less people come up and say that they were online to read through the Bible that year when they reached Leviticus. But yet in Leviticus there's some very rich things, very rich truths that God speaks to us. Listen as I read, beginning in the first verse, when we talk about the Day of Atonement. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, or he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for sin offering and a ram for burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarments shall be next to his body. And he shall be girded with a linen sash, and attired with a linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot of the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat, which is on the ark of the testimony. Otherwise, he will die. He shall put the incense on the fire. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Also in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood into the veil, and do with this blood as he did with the blood of the bull. Sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their iniquities. When he goes to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of the meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for the household and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar, and that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar on all sides. With this his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it 7 times and cleanse it. From it the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrate it. When he finishes atoning for the holy place and the tent of the meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities of a solitary land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of the meeting and take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall bathe his body with the water in a holy place, and he will put on his clothes, and come forth and offer the burnt offerings and the burnt of his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. Then he shall offer up in the smoke the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The one who released the goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp, and they shall burn their hides, their flesh, and their refuge in the fire. Then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For it is on this day that the atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in the Father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tent of the meeting and for the altar. He shall also make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute, to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year. And just as the Lord has commanded Moses, so he did. Day of Atonement. Arguably the most sacred of all the Jewish holidays. It is sometimes referred to the period between Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement as being the days of awe. It's interesting in some of the folk legend. They say even during the days of awe, even the fish in the sea tremble. Should we not tremble? Even though we know Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, should this not be a time of trembling for us? As we examine ourselves, as we look at this part of it's interesting when we look at the holidays and the high holy days within the Jewish faith, that they revolve around the agricultural seasons, except these two, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Because they deal with the deepest needs of our souls and our hearts. In our relationship with God. And how sin breaks that relationship. Can sever it. Can mar it. And make it less than what God desires for us. is a special day. It's interesting, it talks about the sense of self-denial, to afflict our souls, to humble ourselves, to examine ourselves. That's what is traditionally been seen in the Day of Atonement as a fasting. But yet others have added other things to it. Leviticus 16, which we just read, deals a lot with the priestly obligations and their duties. It deals with making sure that the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, has been purified. That the altar, where the place where the sacrifices will be offered, has been purified. It's a special time and has great significance within it. First, if the sanctuary was to function as the holy place, as the dwelling place of the Holy One, it had to be purged of this impurity, of the sins of those who lived around it. Over in Leviticus 23, we see again repeated the Day of Atonement. And there we see it more from the aspect of the responsibility of the lay people. And in it, over and over again, in Leviticus 23, it says, "And you shall humble yourselves, you shall afflict your soul, you shall deny yourself, and you shall cease from any work." That's what's so special about the Day of Atonement. There's a quietness. You will see that as it begins in the evening and all through the day. You will see people walking in the streets. No cars, no motors, hardly any noise at all. But just people seeking to humble themselves. It's a great day. We look at the scapegoat. And boy, that has been the death of many a tree. Because much has been written about what is the meaning of the scapegoat. Some have translated it to mean as a place in the desert. Some has even meant it as to be a sacrifice to a demon goat god. Or it is part of the ritual of the taking away of sin. And the whole process, we see this in the offering of the ram, the offering of the bull, the offering of the goat that is chosen, and two male goats would be brought, and they brought before the high priest, and then he would cast lots. One lot would fall to the Lord, one lot would fall to the scapegoat. The goat that falls to the Lord is taken and is sacrificed. His blood, like the blood of the bull, is placed on the mercy seat, is placed on the altar. And then the special. The scapegoat, the high priest comes up. The high priest places his hands upon the head of the goat. And he confesses the sins of the people. Something about confession, isn't there? Cleansing of it. And he would put his hand upon the head, hands upon it, confess the sins, and then there would be a man would come, and he would take the goat, and he'd take him outside the tabernacle or the temple area. He'd take them outside the camp. He'd take them outside the city. And he'd take them out in the wilderness, way out. And he'd leave him and come back. The completion of the atonement, the shedding of the blood, the forgiveness of sin, and that scapegoat being taken out. To finish out the symbolism and the truth that our sins have been forgiven and they've been taken away. We think of John. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That goat goes out into the wilderness, symbolizes that we have been cleansed of all unrighteousness. That's the text. I encourage you to read it. Also in Numbers, in Leviticus 23, Numbers 28, 29, and Deuteronomy speak about the religious year. And in Leviticus and Numbers, it speaks about the Day of Atonement. It doesn't in Deuteronomy, which is very interesting. But I encourage you to read those passages. What I want to do this morning is seek to prepare us for the Day of Atonement. Now, I don't know if how many of you are familiar with Leadership Journal? Has anybody ever read Leadership Journal published by Christianity Today? Oh, see some hands there. A couple. By one of my friends, pastors in Arizona. He loves Leadership Journal. He and his wife can't wait till it comes once a month. And as Roger was telling me these things, my other buddy and I, Roger, were looking at him, wondering if Roger has gone over the deep end. He says, we wait for it to come, but we don't open it when it comes. But when we go to bed that night, we take it with us and we sit up and we look through Leadership Journal. And we're thinking, okay, Roger, it's all right. But you know what they go through and read first? All the cartoons. Some of the best theological cartoons you will ever see are found in Leadership Journal. One of my all-time favorites. Shows a preacher, decked out good. Four frames now. Got to get this because this is good. Four frames of the cartoon. Decked out, guy's preaching Bible with him, and he's got a full-length mirror in front of him. And each one is a different position. Repent. Repent. Repent! And I mean, he's getting in. He's getting ready for Sunday morning. Well, I'm not here yelling at you, getting the perfect pose to repent. What I want to do is come here as a fellow pilgrim that seeks to want to know God more. Wants to seek to know Him better. Wants to seek to walk with God. And what I want to do, we look at some of the old writings. John of the Cross. Teresa Avila, Thomas A. Kempis, Jonathan Arndt, True Christianity, Anthony of the Desert Fathers, that have a better grasp of this, humbling ourselves, this affliction of the soul, than I think we do in modern Christianity. We've become wimps. We've become self-satisfied. We have, instead of the road less traveled, we have got on the escalator with everybody else. So I want to poke you. I want to prod you. I want to stir you a little bit. I want to challenge you to prepare yourself for the Day of Atonement. It's special. And we don't need to let it slip by. We don't need to say that as Christians we don't have anything to do with this because Jesus is our atonement. And He is. But how are we relating to Jesus in His atonement? in the way we live our life? Are we in some ways mocking it by how we live and what we say and what we do? So I want to give you three questions, three thoughts, three concepts. They're not exhaustive. They're not the only three. They're not the best three. They're just three that I have been convicted of and touched by as I've read through this scripture and tried to prepare for today. One is the Day of Atonement was a cleansing of the Holy of Holies. Because of the presence of sin. The high priest goes in and he cleanses. It's serious business. He just can't stroll in and say, "Hey God, how you doing today? Well, I just wanted to just come in and just check things out and make sure they're all right." One day a year. Proper sacrifices. Proper preparation of the heart. Or you don't go in. Because you will die. Serious business. And as I looked at that, I couldn't help but think, do we take God serious? Do we really take God serious? Or do we just kind of confine it to 1 hour a week when we come together? And maybe not even that hour, maybe a portion of it. But do we take God serious? This day that is coming, the Day of Atonement, would you be willing to spend some time in the quietness? Ask God, just examine me, God. Do I really take you serious? Or are you more of a crutch? Or are you more of a, if I need you, I'll call on you? Sweet Jesus, and in all kinds of sugary, flowery language that I use occasionally. Or do I really take you serious? Do we have the same seriousness for God's temple? For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" In a sense, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do we make sure it's cleansed? That it's free from its impurities, of the sin? We don't have to worry about sin around us. Because that's, you know what, I don't have a bit of control over what everybody else in the world does, but I have to be responsible for what's inside of me. Because I claim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Better yet, He's claimed me. Do I keep this cleansed? Will you spend time with 1 Corinthians 6:19, this Day of Atonement? Ask yourself, am I taking God serious? Am I treating His temple like He'd have me to? Question, concept, whatever you want to call it, two. The Day of Atonement was serious with sin. I mean, everything. To give atonement not just for the high priest, but for his family. Not just for him so he can go in, but for all the people of Israel. One day set aside, no work, affliction and humbling of the soul. And it says, when you look in chapter 23 of Leviticus, if someone doesn't do this, if someone doesn't take it serious, I'll wipe him out. This is serious business with God. Not just serious who God is, but serious with what God has for us. This is what sets Judaism and Christianity apart from everything else. Is this seriousness about sin and how it destroys? Will we humble ourselves before the Lord? Because it's a real problem. Again, Paul, strived after God in Romans 7. He just doesn't write about himself. He writes about us. Beginning with the 14th verse of 7th chapter. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into the bondage of sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But I am no longer doing the very thing that I do not want. I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, and the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am. What a passage. It describes us, doesn't it? I know what I want to do. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to do what is right. But I find myself doing things and saying things and thinking things that is not right. It becomes a battle waged in me. I don't need to worry about you. You don't need to worry about everybody else. What about me? What about you? Where that battle's going on. When we have all the problems in the world, it's the collision, it's the bounding together of these battles going on inside of us. Because we have not allowed the Lord to control it. Will you humble yourselves this Friday? Get serious with sin. And you realize that we can't take away these sins and that's what I like. You know, if it just ended there in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, we can all raise our hands and say, yes, yes. But I loved what Salim said. We're the leaders. Can we catch up with those people we're following? Because that's what Paul says. Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind, I am serving the law of God, but the other with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. This Day of Atonement, we get serious with sin and humble yourselves. One more. The Day of Atonement was a day when sin was taken away. The sin was laid upon the scapegoat and he was taken out into remote, uttermost parts, never to be seen again. Forgiven. It's not just an exercise like Luther in his chamber beating himself because he had sinned and trying to find penance and doing all kinds of things, crawling up steps in Rome on your hands and knees. Where I was stationed in Italy, I was stationed on a mountain called Mount Vergine. And there was a monastery up there, and they used to, before the Vatican, it was drawing too much attention, people would crawl on their hands and knees with crowns of thorns up this mountain. And we're not talking a hill. We're talking a serious mountain that had over 120 switchbacks to get up it in penance, hoping to find forgiveness. Day of Atonement is not an exercise in futility and self-degradation. It's a door to forgiveness and the fullness of life. Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And that's what we desire. This day, will you accept the forgiveness of God? Maybe what you need to do is spend time is, have I forgiven myself? Because that's usually where we struggle. We struggle. Have I forgiven myself? Can I forgive myself? A great passage in the Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He moved our transgressions from us. When God forgives us, He forgives us. Zeo. Halas. Finished. Over. This day, when you spend your time in the humbleness of your soul, seriousness with sin, accepting the forgiveness of God, cleansing yourself, accept it, and walk in the newness of light, in the Spirit, walk in Him. As you may have guessed, one of my favorite of the old time of the mystics is St. John on the Cross. And if you want to just humble yourself and struggle, just try reading St. John on the Cross, Dark Night of the Soul, Ascent of Mount Carmel on the Day of Atonement. That will be enough humbleness, I guarantee you. He gets to it. I think what I find in these people, they use language I'm not comfortable with. Teresa uses some illustrations. I wonder, where in the world did she get these from? But one thing rings out, their desire to know God and walk with Him. Oh, it's a passion. It's a consuming passion in them. I desire to have that passion. I struggle with it. From the ascent to Mount Carmel, he makes this statement. A soul makes room for God by weeping away all the smudges and the smears of creatures, by uniting its will perfectly to God. For to love is to labor to divest and deprive oneself for God of all that is not of God. This day, will you labor and strive to empty yourself of all things that is not of God so you can experience the richness of all that is God? So the worship team come. We'll have a word of prayer, and I want us to close in singing that song, Holiness, Take My Life. Because to me, that's what the Day of Atonement is about. The striving for holiness. And God, take my life and you mold it, you shape it, you make it for you. Let us pray before we sing. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace and for your love. Father, as the Day of Atonement comes up, we thank you for the atonement that we have in Jesus Christ. And Father, let us spend this day examining ourselves, that for which Christ died, we might show ourselves to be obedient to our Lord and our Savior who was crucified. Father, let it be a day we draw close to you, not just for this day, the beginning for this year, that we seek to walk with you in all holiness. In Jesus' name.